Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fly in the Lab. My name is Maria, and I am a scientist, PhD student, science communicator, and host of this podcast. Fly in the Lab is a place where we can all chat and laugh about our science confessions or lab mishaps. This podcast is a place where we can dispel myths about scientists and really share some of the humour that gets us through the day-to-day struggles, of which there are many. Thank you so much for joining me, and I hope that you enjoy listening to Fly in the Lab. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fly in the Lab. It's me, Maria, and I'm coming to you on a slightly drizzly, very cold Thursday at the beginning of October. I'm actually currently recording this from a meeting room in the labs where I work. It's been a very long day. I've been very busy in the labs today, showing people around, doing some of my own lab work. I've had some meetings with my PIs, and it's just been a long day. But I'm very pleased to be coming to you today to share this podcast recording with you. Today's episode, I have been chatting to the lovely Livy Grant from a genomics PhD. Livy is somebody who I've wanted to meet and, you know, chat to for a very long time. We met through Instagram, and she is very into science communication and talking about her work in sort of like data science and bioinformatics. She is hilarious and posts some really funny reels, but also some very informative posts about science. So I was really excited to get her on the podcast and have a chat about some of the things that we maybe share in common, or some things that are, you know, exclusively to the two of us, about things that have gone wrong over the period of our PhDs. So thank you so much for listening to this podcast today. I really hope that you enjoy listening to me chatting to the lovely Livy as much as I enjoyed speaking to her. And yeah, without further ado, let's get into the episode. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining me today. And I have the wonderful Livy Grant with me. Livy, do you want to introduce yourself to the podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I feel honoured to be like one of the first guests.
Oh, thank you.
It's so nice to like be a guest on a podcast. So yeah, thanks for having me. So yeah, like you said, my name is Livy. Some people call me Liv, whatever you want to call me. I am just gone into my third year of my PhD at University of Essex and also Queen Mary in London. So I'm kind of like at two universities, which is a bit weird. But one of my supervisors moved, so I'm kind of ending up at both. Double the seminars, which is awful.
Oh no, I never thought of that.
I have to attend double meetings, double seminars, bit of a nightmare. But anyways, I am studying epigenetics and bioinformatics. So I'm a fully computational PhD student. That's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Brilliant. So I was really keen to get Livy onto this podcast because I think a lot of the people that I interact with day to day are quite heavy kind of life sciences. And obviously, as you said, you're like a computational scientist. And I think that's something that will be really interesting to chat about. And for anybody who hasn't kind of met Livy or heard of Livy before, I know Livy through Instagram. So do you want to kind of tell us a bit about your Instagram? Because you are pretty Instagram famous, I would say.
Oh God, that kind of cringes me out a bit. what's to say about my Instagram? I don't know. What do I share on that? I share basically my PhD journey, I guess. So I just talk about anything that really comes to my mind. I'm actually trying to steer my Instagram in more of like a sci-com route, I guess. Mm-hmm. So recently I've started doing like sort of like bite-sized research videos talking about like genetics research or epigenetics research, but things are like of public interest. So for example, I've done like a video about like how yoga and meditation like influences your DNA and things like that. So I'm trying to like do more science on my Instagram rather than just PhD life.
Yeah, Livy's Instagram is honestly amazing. Like, you are such a massive inspiration to me, and your videos are so good and so informative. I really like the one that you did the other day about the dogs.
Yeah,
that was, I was like, this like speaks to me on so many levels because it's science but also dogs.
I know, that's exactly why I did it. So yeah, I did a video about how or like the reasons behind why a lot of labs are chubby, and also how that relates into them being good guide dogs. But yeah, that's the thing. I'm trying to do like more like genetics and epigenetics, but like funny, like quirky things rather than like, you know, like not boring, but things that like the more general public or people not in the field will find interesting.
Yeah. Oh no, definitely. I think it's really beneficial and you're doing very well, clearly. So, you know, if you don't already follow Livy, make sure you follow her. What's your Instagram handle again?
At a genomics PhD.
There you go. I'll put that in there.
It's really funny because everyone always thinks it's agenomics.
Oh, well, that's like the whole, so I'm, if you don't already know, I'm a bio blog on Instagram and everybody seems to have thought that my name was Abiolog.
It's so funny. I was literally laughing so much when you first said that, like I was laughing so much. And now whenever I read your Instagram name, I can't help but read Abiolog.
I know, honestly, me too, to the point where I thought about changing it, but I was like, no, this is my identity now. But I do get some companies contacting me and they're like, hi, Abby. I'm like, no. Do your research.
Do you have like your like name on
I do, yeah. So it says Maria O'Hanlon, so.
So they could.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
well. But no, another reason why I was quite keen to get you on here today is because, as you said, you're a third year, final year PhD student. So am I. So I thought it would be quite nice to kind of see our two different perspectives. And I felt like we could come together in this podcast and share, you know, our words like of wisdom.
We're the five ones now. It's so weird, isn't it? Because when you like first started, like in your first year, you'd always look up to the third years, being like, oh my god, that's gonna be me one day, like they're so clever, they're so cool. And then you kind of get to third year and you're like, oh crap, like I am supposed to be that person now.
Yeah,
you know, it's so weird. So yeah, we can adopt some wisdom here, try to anyway.
Yeah, so we can definitely, I would say, share some pearls of wisdom. We're old hands at it now. And in mind of that, I think I will move on to the first segment. So I asked on my Instagram for some opinions on some polls that I put up, and the one that I've chosen today to share with you is the poll of, have you ever done something to get back at a PI or supervisor who was mean to you? So options were yes or no. Do you want to have a guess on kind of what the results were for that, what percentages they were swaying in?
Okay, I am gonna go with like 70% no, 30% yes.
I mean, fairly close, to be honest. So it was 83% no and 17% yes, which I was pretty like, you know, my followers are all pretty good people. I didn't expect as many people to say no, but I did speak to some of the people who said yes. And one of them in particular really tickled me. And she said that when she was talking to her supervisor, they had been ignoring her for quite a long time. She'd been asking for help and they'd been, I think, just not really very helpful. So she'd actually gone and egged their car.
No.
I know. I was like, can you imagine? I would never.
First of all, how did they know where their PI lived? That is the first question that springs to my mind. How do they know? Or did, maybe they did it on campus.
I don't, but if they did it on campus, when did they do it? I mean, in the middle of the day, did people see? I mean,
what if it's the camera? Can you imagine the guy like pulling you into his office? Like, we've seen you on camera, like egging. Oh my god.
It's mad, isn't it? I was like, you are bold, my friend. Bold. No. And if my PI is listening to this, I would never.
No, that goes beyond bold, to be honest. I
don't know how far I could get pushed with a PI to make me want to do something like that. I feel like, I don't know if that's just who I am as a person, but
I agree. Just not even just my PI, like anyone in general. Like, you'd have to seriously annoy me for me to egg your car.
Yeah, I probably should have led with that. I wouldn't egg anybody's car, but especially not my PI.
Yeah, no, you'd have to do something drastic, like, I don't know, like delete my thesis from everywhere that it's stored or something like that. Like, that's the kind of stuff that would make me egg someone's car. And I would happily do it on camera in broad daylight because I would be so angry. But yeah, what did their PI do to them?
I know, I did sort of ask and she was kind of skirting around the topic. So I don't know. I'm not sure if it was just that she kind of got pushed to the end of a tether, but I mean, you've heard it here first then. If your supervisor is listening to this podcast, do not delete Livy's thesis.
Yes, I will egg your car. I don't know where you live, but I will find out.
I have a particular set of skills.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh. But no, so I thought that was a good one to use today. And I thought that would be, you know, just a funny one to share. But do you have any sort of confessions that you want to make about your degree or anything that you've kind of done during your PhD that maybe has not been ideal?
So I don't know if I have like any really funny confessions. And this is one of the bad things about being, is it a bad thing or a good thing? I don't know. This is one of the things about being a bioinformatician is that nothing, when things go wrong, they're not very exciting. You know, if you do something in the lab, like, I don't know, you do something wrong, like it can be quite exciting. You might set something on fire. You might flood something, you know, you might destroy everyone's cells on the floor or something. You know, when you're a bioinformatician, it's just not that exciting.
Yeah.
So I feel like the worst thing that's happened to me, and it's probably not even funny, I mean it's funny to me, and if there's bioinformaticians listening, they'll probably find it funny, but one time I wrote some code, like I was writing some code, so I was working with this data set, and it was a really big data set, and basically I was writing some code, if I'm going to put it quite simply so it's easy to understand, is the code was supposed to take like 10% of this data set. Now this data set was like 850,000 rows long. So I should have ended up with 85,000 rows, right?
Okay.
Is that right? See, maths, you know, like this is why I'm a bioinformatician, because I am just chaos in the lab. Yeah. So I kind of just did everything that could go wrong in the lab. I was the cause of it. So
oh, no. When
it
came
to the cause, I kind of just stepped back and just watched.
Right, because fair I just enough.
Yeah, I would so, always.
So did your supervisor not point out or notice that you had all of these rows that you weren't meant to have? Or
well, the thing is, because I work from home, so I'm just like, so he's like, have you taken, like, have you done it this way? And I'm like, yeah, I've done it this way, kind of thing, like thinking I've done it right. For some reason I was thinking that I was doing it right. So I mean it was pretty hard for him to spot it. It was just me. Just
oh,
me that up really.
But I think that's so easy to do, you know. I think especially so if they're not looking at your data.
It's so easy. And with when you're writing code, all it takes is literally like you to put the wrong number or the wrong letter. Like literally it can be that simple.
Yeah.
Or the wrong sign, you know, like it can be something so small and you mess it up. But it's just so embarrassing that like anyone else who would have looked at that data like straight away would have seen it.
Yeah. Oh, bless you. Oh no. Well, actually, I thought I would make you feel better by kind of sharing one of my own confessions as well. And as the episodes go on, I don't know if I'll do this every time because I'm hoping that I will run out at some point. I have to remember that people might be listening to this that might want to employ me at some point in the future. So I can't make myself sound too bad. But so one of the things that I know about code, and this is like showing how little I know about coding, is you can do like a hashtag, can't you? And then that has a comment that isn't read into your code, but it's kind of a prompt for you to look back on. Yeah. And I've heard horror stories about how people have put, you know, a comment on and they've said something ridiculous, like, oh, you know, this is rubbish.
Oh, yeah.
You need to rewrite this or whatever.
I've done that several times.
Yeah. So then it's kind of along those lines. It wasn't that I was coding, but when I wrote my undergraduate dissertation and I'd sent it off as a draft to my supervisor, I had left out the discussion because I'd written the discussion on a separate document. And everything was there, but when it got to the discussion, I just wrote in massive, massive letters, you need to get your life together, Maria. And
oh, no.
I'd sent that version to my supervisor and he had emailed me back and he'd said, oh, you know, it reads really well. Your introduction's great. Your methods are great. Your results are great. But, you know, Maria, don't lose sight. You can do this. Like, don't give up yet. And I was thinking, why are you sort of like saying this to me? Like, I know I'm getting there. I'm writing it. I'm really knuckling down. And then I looked through it and I was like, oh my God, I've sent him the wrong draft. And I was mortified. I had to send him an email back and say, no, I have done the discussion. And like, I attached it. And he was like, oh good. I thought like you were sort of losing it a bit there, but I was absolutely mortified.
How sweet of him though to just like give you, you
he
know
was, he was
like,
so good motivating.
I have done that several times. So I even today, like I was going through some code that I'd wrote a couple of weeks ago, and I always write messages for myself on my code.
Mm.
So for example, there was one code file that I really wanted to start for like ages. So I started the code file with hashtags like, so I started the code and I'd hashtagged, like wrote a little message to myself where I said, I've fucking been waiting so long to start this fucking file, like all of this like literally all of these things. Like, so I write comments like that to myself and I always have to remember to take them off. And today I was putting some of my code onto GitHub. So like to put the, along with my manuscript. So anyone who reads my manuscript can go and read my code.
Right.
And I just put so many stupid comments on there. Like in capitals, like, let's see what's replicated, baby. Like all of this kind of stuff. So I was going through like having to take it all out. Cause I was like, oh my God, imagine if I like publish that. Like,
oh, I love that though. I think, see, if I was kind of reading that, I would think that was really funny, but I don't know. I've said, you know, like, I think the way that you get through a lot of this work is by laughing. And if I saw that in a code, I would just laugh. I think that's really funny, but I know why you would obviously also want to take it out. I love that. Let's see what's replicated, baby.
Yeah, I put a picture of it on my like story earlier. I don't know how many people picked up on it, but
yeah, I think I saw that actually. Yeah. Oh, bless you. That's really good.
But yeah, it's like, you know, when you're just like, cause I just literally sit here all the time by myself, like, I just literally talk to myself through my code.
I said, but I think that's good. And like people talk about having an inner monologue anyway. So it's kind of like your inner monologue, but on paper. It's nice. Yeah. I think it's nice. But people listen to this who maybe don't do coding or don't do science and they'll be like, who are these absolute weirdos? But I understand you.
Yeah, no, you've got to make it a little bit fun somehow, I guess.
You do. And that's where this podcast comes in, you know, shameless plug. So I think we're going to backtrack a little bit now because we're going to now read out some of the anonymous confessions that I have received from people who follow me on Instagram and just like general members of the public. So the first one I'm going to read out is kind of linking back to how you get back at a PI. And I thought that this was absolutely brilliant when I read this. So my supervisor left me out of a paper. So when the lab all got in my mug with the paper printed on, I snuck into the kitchen one day and with a Sharpie wrote my name under the authors. To this day, he hasn't mentioned it. And I still wonder if he ever noticed or if it even made him feel bad.
Oh my God, I love this.
Isn't it amazing? I was like, power play.
Yeah, I'm 100% behind this. I also love the fact that she just hasn't said anything. She's just wrote the name on the mug and left it at that.
I love
because
it.
Because how awkward did he feel like when he picked up the mug?
With your supervisor is like, I feel like I could probably approach my supervisor and say, oh, you know, I'd do it in a nice way. I'd kind of be approaching it in a way of, oh, you know, I did this work for you for this paper. I kind of thought I might get mentioned on the paper. Is there a reason why I haven't? Is there anything that I could do on top of what I've already done to kind of get on the paper? I don't know. I feel like a lot of supervisors kind of understand how hard it is to get onto papers and publications and would put people on anyway. You know, I've worked for people in the past who've put undergraduate students on who haven't necessarily done too much to put towards the paper, but you know, it's still a foot on the ladder. So, oh, it's a hard one. I do think it depends what your supervisor's like.
Yeah, it's such an awkward like conversation, isn't it?
Do you think you would?
100%, 100%. I've got to say something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also would probably go down the same route of I'll mention it to my supervisor rather than someone else.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's a respectful way to do it. And I think the way that, like you just said it, is like a perfect way to approach it. But it's definitely really, really awkward.
Yeah, it is. I think especially if they've already left you off, because you'd be like, was there a reason? Or
I wonder if she knew about the paper, like before the mug situation. Like, because imagine, I also know of people who like they haven't heard anything about the paper and then all of a sudden it's published and they're like, oh, so they didn't even get the chance to say, hey, I should be on this, you know.
That's a good point, actually, if it's already out there. In some ways I feel like that's worse because you haven't even had time to say anything. But then again, is it worse if you knew that the paper was going to come out, you've already spoken to the PI, and then they've left you out again?
Yeah, but at least you know you've tried then. I mean, either way, I definitely support writing your name on the mug.
Honestly,
scribbled out his name and then wrote your name where his name was.
We love that. We love that passion. That's so funny. Oh, I just thought that's it's brilliant because it's so it's such a power move whilst also not being horrible about it.
Yeah.
But imagine they're not saying anything.
Silence that I like. Love silence because I would never have the balls to not be silent about it. Like I just couldn't do it. Like I always have to say something. So I really love when people can do that, but I'm just not that person.
But then like, I feel like I'm thinking of it from a stance as well of, well, would you change your your handwriting so that they couldn't tell that it was you who'd written it on? Like, what would you do? Would you want them to know?
I think she'd want him to know. Listen, if you're going and getting someone's mug, cupboard and you're writing your name, you want them to know that you're annoyed, because even if it wasn't you that wrote it, you've still ran it to someone to the point where they're so annoyed for you that they then go and do it. So either way, they know that you are fuming.
Good point, honestly. Well done is what I say.
I think so. I can't ever imagine being in this situation, but I think if I was, call it as petty as you want, I might do the same, to be honest.
There we go. Well, I'm giving you an idea, if anything. Yeah, if you take nothing away from this podcast. Oh, well, at least that's got some approval. So if you're listening, whoever submitted that anonymous confession, we support you. We support this movement.
I totally support it 100%.
Okay, so confession number two is, my PI would fall asleep during lab presentations if it was boring and say that he was just meditating. One day he went to sleep during my weekly update and we decided to test how out cold he was. One of the master students had a massive bag of Wotsits. So we decided to see how many Wotsits we could leave on his head before he realized. We made it to 27.
No, this is wild. What universities are these people at?
I don't know. I was trying really hard not to check because I was like, I don't want to know. Leave me out of it.
Oh my God. Honestly, I low-key wish stuff like this was happening at my university. Like, this makes my PhD sound so boring.
Well, this has never happened to me, so you're not the only one.
I want to stack Wotsits on my PI's head.
I mean, I just don't. Could I beat 27? I don't know. That's a strong number.
We will never know. We will never know. It's just not as fun.
It's just not. I mean, that it is a bit rude if they go to sleep during your lab meetings. I take that personally. I feel like if you know they've got young kids and they've maybe been up all night and it happens once, I could definitely let it slide. But if it's happening all the time, I think I'd be like, come on.
There's definitely a problem. There's definitely a problem. I was presenting like my undergraduate project and there was like six people who presented before me. And for sure, one of the people examining me fell asleep during my presentation. And I was kind of happy because I was like, it's one less person to like ask me extra questions. This is the thing, because I don't know about you, but when I go to lab meetings, like, okay, 50% of the time, I actually spend quite a lot of time preparing what I'm going to say, like what questions I need to ask, like getting my data ready to show. So if you then fall asleep, it is kind of rude.
No, I agree. It is rude. And I think especially if it's like your PI, and you know, if people are listening to this who don't come from a science background, a PI is kind of the equivalent of like a manager or a boss. Yeah. So, you know, it is a bit of a slap in the face, especially I think you're doing a part of their research. So why are they not interested in, you know, what they have to say? And in your case, when that happened, like, did he wake up and ask any questions? Like, how did he know what was going on?
Kind of like drifting in and out. And the thing is that the people who presented before me, we were all in the same sort of project. So we did similar things, just on a different gene. So he did actually ask me, I think maybe one question after. But also the thing is, like, no one is forcing you to be here, sir. Like,
yeah, there is that.
You aren't the one making this meeting compulsory. Like,
I can just go home. Like, it's fine.
We hate lab meetings because, like, I don't necessarily hate them, but sometimes, like, we kind of hate them, right? Like, they're kind of take up time. Obviously, they're useful in many ways, but they're quite daunting sometimes, you know.
I was going to say, I do, even now, I can sometimes get very nervous before a lab meeting. And my supervisor's lovely and we have a really good relationship. But sometimes if I'm not sure on something or if I'm struggling with a technique, like, I do get really wound up and I might lose a bit of sleep the night before. Or as you said before, when we were talking before we started recording the podcast, how you kind of hype yourself up when you know that you've got something to do. And if I know that I'm going to have that lab meeting, then I'm a bit of a mess sometimes, and it does work you up. And Yeah, no, I think I do think that's rude. I would definitely take it personally. I'm not sure I would start like lobbing WhatsApps off the head, but I don't know what I would do, to be honest. Like, do you just like cough, or
I would just say like, are you okay? Like, yeah. Do you want to postpone, like go home, have a nap, we'll redo this.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, go get coffee. Do you want to do the meeting outside? Like, I'm not ignoring it, but I'm not throwing WhatsApps at them.
Yeah. Like, it's like it's somewhere in between, you know?
Get them a coffee, tell them to postpone the meeting. There's no way that I would just stand there. Like, I'm really not about to waste my time watching you have a nap.
Like, I love you. I feel like you're so like bald. You just don't stand for any nonsense. Like, I feel like the energy you give off.
Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, stand there and like just wait. Like, what are we supposed to do?
See, I feel like that's what I would do. Like, I feel like I'm like uber polite, and I would just stand there really nervously and sort of just be like, I just,
I'm waking you up. Like, I am waking you up. I'm not standing here waking up. Or I'd just leave, and then I'd let you just wake up, and I'd be gone.
Yeah, just slam that door. You missed a really good presentation, my friend.
I'm not even slamming it. Like, I'm gonna close it quietly, and I'm gonna leave, and you're gonna wake up and think, oh my god, she left.
See, that's a power play as well.
It's your loss, you know. I'm off doing some cool work, and you were napping.
I love it. I love it. Honestly, I love it. I feel like that's how we should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely not waiting around. But no, I don't know.
That.
Yeah, the WhatsApps. Do I support the WhatsApps? I don't know.
Yeah, I see. I don't like cheesy crisps, so I'm not on board with this. There's like a lot of residue, and that's going to be all over his head. That's where my mind went. I was like, oh, that's a lot of like crispy residue that's just going to be like sitting on his head. And how do you explain that as well? Like, when he wakes up, like, he's obviously going to be like, well, where have these WhatsApps come from? They haven't just like fallen from the sky. So how do you kind of explain that?
Not only are you disrespecting him, but you're also making him smell odd. Like, come on. Is that dessert? Does he deserve that? I don't know.
I don't feel like he does.
So I was actually saying this to my sister the other day, that I have this thing about cheesy crisps. Like, watching people eat cheesy crisps actually makes me feel ill, because all I can think about is, you know, when kids eat WhatsApps, and I'm sorry to like anyone with kids, but when kids eat WhatsApps and they get like the yellow, oh my god.
No, I know.
Putting WhatSys is like a form of pure disrespect. Like, you could have put ready salted or something. Like, WhatSys is a bit far for me, I'm not gonna lie.
So if it's ready salted, fine. WhatSys, absolutely not.
Yeah, I think that's a bit too out of order.
No, I 100% agree. It's the thought of it makes me gag. And please, we're in the same camp for that one. It's funny, but I'd be quite angry if that happened to me. So
I would, yeah, I would be quite annoyed. I don't know. I also don't know if I'd fall asleep, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess we never know, do we? I don't have any children keeping me up all night. So
exactly. I've got cats that keep me up all night, but not children. Oh,
your cats are so cute. Okay, so next confession. And I think this is the last one. Okay, so I think you'll appreciate this one, having, you know, said what you've said so far. So my story was during my undergraduate degree. I was in front of a line of students who were waiting to ask the lecturer questions. But before they could speak to him, he called me over to talk about how applications for PhD funding were going. He was joking with me and made a comment along the lines of, well, at least I managed to get accepted by this funding body for my PhD. And before I even knew it, fuck you, just slipped out. Everyone was staring, but thankfully he found it hilarious. And now he's actually my PhD supervisor.
I love this.
That's great,
that
isn't it?
Definitely something that would also slip like out of my mouth as well. So when I was doing my undergrad, I used to work obviously part-time, like retail job kind of thing. And so I used to work at a zoo, and the manager of the zoo, like everyone like just had absolute like respect for him. Like everyone was very, very serious around him. And I'm just not that type of person. Like, I don't really treat people differently. Of course I do. Like, if it's like, is this true? Because I was about to say I do, like, in a professional environment, but it was my retail job, like, it was my part-time job. I'm not going to lie, I just didn't care about it. I wouldn't do this now. I would like to hope that I wouldn't do this now in my career, because this is my career and I want to try and stay professional. But everyone was very like, be very polite around him, you know, like very PC. I can't remember one day he said something to, and he was never PC with anyone. Like he wasn't ever polite to anyone. And I think he said something about my makeup or something. And I think I just turned around and told him to fuck off. Yeah, he kind of laughed it off. And then my like line manager like pulled me into a like a room the next day. And she was like, oh, like, I can't believe you said that. Like, he's really annoyed that you said that to him. And I was like, well, you know, give it if you can't take it. Like,
yeah, it's such an awkward one, isn't it? Like when they're your boss or in a position that's like kind of superior to you, it is an awkward one, but that's so rude. Like, I think that would slip out without even thinking about it.
That's the thing. Like, I actually didn't even think about it. It just slipped out. So I get what he or she means about like it just slipping out, because yeah, I had no control. It just came out, and I was like, oh.
But also, I feel like respect demands respect, and like if he's not going to respect you, you know, why should you? It's rude. I don't like that. Good for you.
Maybe
for
they're both just like. Maybe they're both just like. Maybe they're both just like a bit of banter, because now,
yeah, there is that, yeah.
So maybe they just like constantly like take the piss out of each other like during lab meeting.
Yeah, because some people do have that kind of relationship. I mean, I've spoken to numerous kind of lecturers and PIs here, and one of the day, I won't name any names or anything, but they were kind of joking on with me and they were swearing, and I was like, oh god, like I have quite a wicked sense of humor, but I felt like I couldn't give it back because I see them as like in a position that's like very superior to me. And I was like, oh God, if I like swear at them, it's such a hard one.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, because you do want to have that banter, but oh.
I cannot help but be sassy back. Like, I just cannot. Even if I'm not going to like say something like rude or anything back, like you're going to know that you've just annoyed me.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to somehow make you feel uncomfortable. Like if they make like, I don't know, like a sexist comment or something and I don't have the balls to like give it back, I'll just be like, oh, can you explain what you mean? Like kind of put them in an awkward, like uncomfortable situation, you know? But yeah, maybe they just like, maybe she said that back to him and he was like, I want you in my lab. Like
that's a good point. Yeah.
Maybe that's what sold them to him.
Like her standing up and being like bald. Maybe. Yeah. You never know. Because to be fair, sometimes as well, I think if you show like your personality a little bit, it can kind of like attract a PI more to you, because it shows that you're like a little bit more human. And at the end of the day, like you've got to be able to get on with a PI. And in academia, it's a very difficult like gray area. Like your PI is your boss, but isn't technically your boss because they don't pay your wages. And it is a really weird like gray area. And sometimes I think
some
it's
people
nice
are really like, yeah, some close with their PI, like they've got drinking.
Yeah,
with them,
they go like to the pub. Yeah.
They will go drinking with them.
Yeah.
Like they'll go to their house, have drinks with them at their house. Like I know a couple people who do that. And then some people like will literally see them only in a professional setting, like once every 6 months. So it's so.
It is really hard. I mean, I went to my supervisor's husband's like 50th birthday party, and we were all like drinking and doing shots, and like, it was nice, you know, like I really like my supervisor, but I don't know if I'd swear at her. I don't know. It's really.
Yeah, I've definitely sworn in front of my PIs, but I've never sworn at them.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Like if you drop something, you're like, oh, fuck. Or, you know.
Yeah.
it just slips out.
Well, if you have like, I don't know about you, but one or two drinks in, like you want it or not. Like,
yeah, it's a good point to be fair. The banter be flowing. One glass of wine, I'm gone.
Exactly. So maybe it's a good thing that we haven't, like I'm more comfortable with my PIs and stuff, because when I could go out for drinks to them, I was still quite new to the lab. It was probably like at most 6 months that I've been in the lab, so I didn't really know them that well, whereas now I feel like I know them obviously a lot better, so maybe I'd be more comfortable with the drink. Oh god, yeah, it's probably a good job that we can't do that.
That's a good point, yeah, because I definitely feel more comfortable with my PI now, and I feel like I was like a little bit scared about, now we're like probably a little bit more on that level. So
yeah, one of my PIs used to petrify me like absolutely petrify me, but now like I think he's brilliant, and
that's good.
Yeah, we get on well, and like, yeah, but yeah, he definitely used to scare me.
No. Oh, bless. I think that's normal, like, you know, when you first start out, they're scary people who know so much, and then kind of the more you go through your PhD and the more you know, I think you feel more able to like approach them, and you know, I think especially once you've screwed up a few times and you know that they're not going to scream at you, you know, then you're like, no, it's fine. We can have a bit more of a chat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We have like probably the majority of our lab meeting, we spend not talking about results.
Oh, I love that though. That it's like, it's more of like a working relationship now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereas like, so I've got three PIs. So I'm talking about one of them, and then one of them, there's a couple more people in our lab. So it's very like lab meeting focused, but we still have like, we'll have like social events and stuff, which are nice.
Oh, I like that.
Obviously over Zoom, but yeah.
Oh no, I think that's great. No, I think that's the way to be. And you know, if you're just starting your PhD and listening to this, then I think it's a good thing to strive for, you know, that good working, but also like friendship, almost relationship with your supervisors. Yeah. Cause it does definitely help, and it helps the years go by a bit quicker.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you can't have it with your supervisors, like try and do it with like the other PhD students in your cohort.
That is a good point. Yeah. It's really good to have some form of relationships with somebody, because at some point it's going to get hard.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. Cause
how are you managing kind of being at home? Are you, as you said, you spend a lot of time kind of at home. Do you feel like you have those relationships still?
Yeah, I'm just kind of used to it now. So before, like, so I had like obviously the 6 months on campus, and I met like my friend called Ellie, and now like we're literally like best friends. So she was in like the same office as me, so like I see her a lot. And then a couple of the girls like from my actual lab group, like we talk all the time. Like we met up the other day, like for the first time in like months. So I'm still trying to maintain them. Obviously it's difficult.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also feel like the people in your lab and every like, or in your office, like they just understand your life on like a level that like your friends and your family can't.
Yeah, definitely. Like you can go home and complain about your day and
they just don't get, they
no,
get it.
A lot of it just goes over the head, which is like fair enough. They don't understand it. I think it is a job that is very far removed from a lot of other. It's really hard to relate to, I think. And it is nice when you have those people who you can speak to in the office and just have a bit of a moan to sometimes, and you know that they get it and they know that you get it, and it's just, you're all on that nice level.
And they can just like be happy for you for like things. So the other day, like we submitted like my preprint. Mm-hmm. And I told my mum, and I think she thinks that I like had a paper published, so she doesn't really get like preprint versus published.
Yeah.
So like she came home like with a bottle of wine, and I was just like, I printed off my paper, like all the whole thing, like all 27 pages, and I was like, I don't have the heart to explain to you that it's not published yet. So I was just kind of like going along with it, but you know what I mean? They just don't get it, and I couldn't be bothered to explain it to her because she couldn't get it. Whereas you know, like your lab friends and like people. Even like just you and me, like I could just be like, hey, this happened or this happened, you'd get it, and I wouldn't have to explain it to you, you know?
Yeah, I had we're currently trying to get a paper published, and it has been rejected a few times now. And every time I think it was the second time I said to my mom, I was like, oh, you know, it got rejected again. And she was like, oh well, you knew this would probably happen. And I was like, I guess.
Yeah, that is exactly what I mean. Like, that is exactly what they mean. I mean, like, so we had our paper rejected the other day as well. And I literally haven't even told, like, anyone in my family. I told my sister, but I haven't told anyone in my family or my friends, because I just can't be bothered, because they'll just be like, oh, wow. And I'm like, no, you don't get how annoying and upsetting this is. Like, you don't get it. So I can't even be bothered. Because it's just going to annoy me more having to explain it.
I know exactly what you mean. I mean, I was trying to sort of say, you know, like some of the reviewers' comments were grim, and like I was really upset about them because some of them were very critical. And my dad was like, just ignore them, it's fine. And I was like, oh, it doesn't work like that.
No, it works. I can relate to that so much, and it honestly is the worst. So that is exactly why you need to try and have some form of relationship with someone in your office or your lab or your PI,
like
some things. You can just be annoyed together and they'll get why you're annoyed, rather than just saying like, oh well, don't worry about it, just ignore them.
Yeah, definitely. I was gonna like wrap this up actually by kind of saying like, do you have any words of wisdom? But I feel like we've kind of hit that there. I mean, like, do you feel like you have anything else that you want to share that is like a pearl of wisdom for either like people interested in science or, you know, anything kind of along those lines that you want to share? Because mine would kind of be, as you said, like try and form those working relationships, but also like just try to have a bit of a laugh along the way, because you know, I think it's really important to, you know, celebrate the wins, but also like don't be downhearted by the failures. And I think one of the best ways to do that is just laugh at them, you know, make fun out of it, like make fun out of the fact that, you know, reviewer number two absolutely tore you to shreds. You're like, oh God, like reviewer number two. It's, you know, and, you know, it's just making fun of those things that have maybe not gone quite your way. And it just, it helps the days go by a little bit. I mean, I don't know. Do you have anything that like you want to share along those lines?
Absolutely. So just to touch on what you just said there. So when I was speaking to my PI about this the other day as well, we were talking about the rejection. I just kind of said to him, like, do you know what, Raddy? I'm just looking at this as it's a career milestone passed. I have had my first paper rejected, and I've also had my first stupid reviewer comments.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah.
Some of them were great and some of them were useful, but some of them were just absolutely stupid. Like, but I just thought, like, do you know what? It's just a career milestone passed. Got it over and done with. Brilliant. Let's move on now. So that was the way I looked at it. And then also, so something else to add is you touched on there as well, like having fun with like during your PhD and stuff. So like when I first started, like all I saw was like how stressful a PhD is, like how rubbish it is, blah, 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 all the hard times you'll go through. And yes, that's true. But I also think like for any prospective or sort of first year PhD students, like the experience, just like anything that you do in life, it's what you make it.
Yeah.
So you're in complete control of, obviously to some extent, you're not in control of your data or you're not in control of the science, but you are in complete control of your own experience and how much you're going to enjoy things. So make sure that you include doing things that you enjoy. So like us, for example, obviously we really enjoy like SciComm. So we made sure that we have like our Instagram account, and that brings us joy through, you know, meeting other people and talking about things that we enjoy talking about. Obviously you've just started this amazing podcast. I do my podcast. So I think it's just about like having fun with things, you know, whether it is the Instagram or if it is the podcast or it's presenting or organizing a conference, like just find something related to your PhD so it still feels like it's beneficial to your career, but it's also something that you have fun with, because I think it's really important to keep things fun and enjoyable and just make it a great experience for yourself, because no one else is going to make it a good experience for you, you know.
100%. I love that. That's such a good note to end on. I'm really pleased that you've like rounded it off like that. Beautiful, beautiful. I knew I'd got you on for a reason. So just before I let you go then, do you want to tell everybody where they can find you and like promote, as you were just mentioning, like your podcast?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So yeah, like I mentioned, my Instagram is at agenomicsphd and everything I do you can find on there. So I think, yeah, my podcast is in my bio and everything. So, yeah.
I was going to say, definitely make sure you check out, because you're involved in a lot of really cool things. And, you know, I would definitely encourage people to check that out, because I genuinely mean it. Like, I think you're such a massive inspiration. Like, you do so much and you're amazing at what you do. So I'm really chuffed that I could get you on here today and have a bit of a chat with you.
So fun. Honestly, I'm so excited to listen to all the other episodes. So, yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So there you have it. There was my chat with Libby Grant. I feel like we covered a large amount of topics there, all the way from PIs falling asleep during meetings to getting back at your PI by attacking a mug, egging people's cars. There you go. It's been a wild one, I feel like. I really enjoyed speaking to Libby, and I hope that you really enjoyed this episode too. If you have enjoyed, I would love it if you would consider subscribing to this podcast so that you don't miss any future episodes. You can find some updates on the podcast on either my Instagram, which is at a bio blog, or you can also find some information about the podcast on the Instagram for the podcast, which I've just set up, which is at Fly in the Lab. So yeah, please consider following us and reaching out if you fancy participating maybe in this podcast. I would absolutely love to get you on. And of course, if you have any science confessions or mishaps, degree stories that you want to share, or, you know, something that's just gone wrong in your general day-to-day life that you'd like to get off your chest, please, please get in touch. You can either DM me through my Instagram or you can email me at flyinthelab@gmail.com. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. I will catch you next time. Speak to you later. Bye.